Okay, good afternoon. Can you lip read? Okay, I am deaf myself. I was deaf since I was a baby. My dad is right back there. He's here in the corner over there. If you have any questions about when I was a little baby, you can ask him. Okay. I've been studying about deaf culture, and I realize that I am deaf myself, but I don't know how much I am missing out on the deaf culture. Now I would like to ask you, how many of you know sign language? A little bit. How many of you know of a deaf person, or you know a deaf person? Good. Now I want to, I have this picture right here. How many of you have heard of Gallaudet University? It's the world's largest deaf college in Washington, D.C. It is a dark, sad place. And I was thinking about a verse. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not even heard? The word heard, how do deaf people hear? With their eyes. And I ask you who lip reads when someone talks and you would only read their lips. I mean, it's hard. Most deaf people do not know how to lip read. They cannot lip read. So how do we help deaf people learn? Use your hands. Use your expressions, your body language. How do you start? Who knows the sign for Jesus? There you go. That's Jesus. Love. Love. Huh? You. You, what's the sign for you, as in the person you? Yeah, it's just pointed. Point at someone, you. Just use your finger and you point. That's good. Now, I want to... The topic of this convention is the Anabaptist. It's about Anabaptist, and the more I think about it, I don't know of any Anabaptist outreach, deaf outreach. I know of three schools, one in Belize, one in El Salvador, and one in Haiti. But here, I don't know of any here in the U.S. Church school, Amish would have, maybe. But I was thinking about it. Maybe it's something we could get involved with. Start to learn how we could help deaf people in the Anabaptist vision. Make disciples, help them to reach out to their own people. It would be hard, or it will be hard. Hearing and deaf, they work together. Is that possible? This picture is drawn by a deaf lady. She was our friend. She's a close friend of ours in Belize. She made it. She drew this. Put your hands and put them together. And that is unity. That's the sign for unity. Now, if we see a deaf person and we say, hey, come on over to our church and sit down, will that work? No, it won't. It will not work. I'm sorry. The deaf person will come. I grew up in a hearing world. I went to church every Sunday morning, and I sat there, and I waited, and I waited, and I understood nothing. Many years, maybe, I don't know, how old was I? Maybe as a young teenager, my mom and dad started writing notes. But it's not the same as hearing from the preacher. It's really a challenge for me to sit and be patient and understand nothing. That's very hard. My friends are deaf. They grew up with their parents. They went to their parents' church, and now they left their church. Why? Because they understood nothing. How do we help the deaf? How can the hearing and deaf come together? It's hard. It's tough. And it's sad, but it's very tough. One way that we can do it is for us to get into the deaf world and help the deaf. Learn to sign. Learn to get involved in their culture. Helen Keller. How many of you have heard the story of Helen Keller? That is how I myself have often felt with hearing people. I grew up in the youth group. I understood nothing. It was tough. It was one-on-one, then I could lip read. But a new person come in and say, hey, and start talking to me, and they would talk fast. And I say, I'm sorry, I can't understand you, and I would leave. It's hard. I remember one time I went to a youth retreat. I had gone there 2 years before. And I had went a couple times in the same camp. We went in, and there was steps, and there was a sign for boys that way and a sign for girls the other way. Yeah, so I knew, well, last year we went in where the boys' sign was, and the 2 years before that we did that. So the third year when I went there, I went in, and I saw all the young people were sitting together, and they were talking. Somebody was talking to them. I didn't know what was going on. I had my bags, and I'm like, oh, well, whatever, forget it. So I started walking up the steps. And one of the youth advisors came, and he said, stop, stop, no. You go, we change, the girls are this way and boys are that way. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I had no idea, I'm sorry. That's how I feel. That picture describes how I felt. I felt, but I was done with youth camp after that. It was hard. I wanted to fit in, but I couldn't. It's hard. I think, just understand, with deaf people, there's about 360 million people worldwide. But we need to remember, it includes old people that have lost their hearing as they got older. So we can't really count them because they don't sign. They can still function in the hearing world more anyway. 32 million are deaf children, and I can believe that. I flew to different countries and met deaf in Grenada, in Jamaica, Belize, El Salvador, Africa, Ghana, Africa, Liberia. I met all those, and I flew to China, but I did not look for a deaf school there. I wish I could go back and look for a deaf school. But there are a lot of deaf children. And it's amazing. We could talk. We could sign. It was easy for us to communicate. It was sort of the same. But the world, there's about 400 different, maybe more, sign languages in the world. England has their own sign language. Here we say ABC like this. In England, they use two hands. A, B, C, it's very different. And the different countries, El Salvador has their own sign language. Mexico has their own sign language too. So it's very different. Approximately 70 million use sign language. That's what we think, how many people use sign language in the world, but really, really cannot know. Some people say, no, it's not that many. Other people say, well, it's more than that, so I don't know. That's sort of how we could break it up here. Oral deaf. What is that? I've been studying the history of the deaf culture. I never knew it, but sign language did not become a language until 1965. So it's just 1965. How many years is that? It's not that long ago, but deaf people signed before that. But in public, they were told, no, don't sign, talk, don't be different. The older people, older deaf people that live now, they say they remember those days, and it's so different than it is now. Now they're permitted to sign, and the old people still feel like, no, they should not sign, it's not right. It's really sad. If you study the history, I remember that in 1800, there was a man here, is that 1800? 1800? I'm not sure, before or after? I think 1800. There was a man here in America. He wanted to help the deaf people learn about Jesus. He saw that they could not talk, but they could sign. But he didn't know how, so he went in a ship, to England anyway, and he learned sign language, but he did not like the way they signed there. So he went to France. Oh, he liked their way of signing. So he stayed there for 2 years to learn their language, sign language. And he came back with another man, and they started deaf schools. And that was Thomas Gallaudet, who started Gallaudet University. He had a desire to help deaf people learn about Jesus. But the college now, is way off of that. So those two men came and they started a lot of schools. But soon after that, who invented the phone? That was the light, right? When somebody said Alexander Graham Bell. That's right. Alexander Graham Bell. His mom was deaf. His wife was deaf. He was involved and he invented the phone to help deaf people. But it didn't work because they put it to their ear and he was hoping it would increase the sound. But he did not like sign language. And he invented the phone and that made him rich. Very influencing. So he went to school and he told them, don't use sign language. Stop. Put your hands down. Oral only. And it stayed that way until 1965, 1960 sometime anyway, and then it started changing slowly, and they started signing again. Now, we still meet deaf people that are oral only, and it's hard to be involved with both worlds. You can't be deaf and involved in hearing completely. It's tough. So severe hearing loss, the last two, moderate hearing loss and mild hearing loss, that'd be hard of hearing. Many can be pretty much involved in the hearing world with hearing aids. Hearing aids help. They can do pretty much that. They can be involved with the deaf and hearing. 9 out of 10 deaf children are born to hearing parents. Many people, and that was a funny thing about Alexander Graham Bell, he thought that if deaf people would marry deaf people, there would be more deaf children. That's not true. He tried to stop marriage among deaf people, but most of the deaf children are born to hearing parents. The sad thing is, sorry, I'm going backwards here. Only 23% of parents can sign to their children. Many of them can't, some of them write, or they get another person to interpret for them. In other countries, in Belize, it's even a lot less. There is almost no communication between children and parents. Home signs, you sign, wipe the sweat off your face, go work. That's their way of, or you use the machete to work. You just act it out. It feels weird. You learn a new language trying to communicate with them. And that's sad. I'm so blessed that my dad could sign. When I was small, I could sign to him. That was a huge blessing. That's the communication needs to be there between a deaf child and their parents too. It is true that a lot of deaf people cannot read. Here in America, it has improved. It's getting better the last few years. The older deaf people's reading level might be first, second grade level. Reading newspaper, they don't understand. Give them the Bible. It doesn't work. We have a PowerPoint with words. You have to use pictures. The words don't help anything. It's just really frustrating with all the words. And when I was teaching the deaf in Belize, I use a lot of pictures, a lot of actions to show them what to do. Here in America, I can spell like J-E-S-U-S. But in Belize, I can't. They don't know what that would mean. You go to a different country, you cannot spell a word to them. They cannot spell, and it's hard. It's one of the hardest things among the deaf culture. Communication. When you sign, if you watch deaf people talk, watch them. Watch their eyes. They have full eye contact. When I sign, my hands move, but I don't watch another person's hands move. I look at their face. I look at their eyes. The hearing people have voice, you raise your voice and it's like you have different voice tones and you're really excited about something or you're really sad and grouchy. Your voice changes. But how do deaf people do it? How do deaf people show they're happy or how do they show they're angry? Yes, that's right. And body language. Stop, and that facial expression right there, stop it. Oh, I know, okay, I'll stop. Or, yay, go, let's go. You can see the facial expression. The body language says a lot. The hearing people clap their hands. How do deaf people clap? If you go into a deaf club or deaf event, when deaf people, when you see when everybody is clapping, all their hands are waving up in the air. That's how they clap. That's their way of cheering other people on. It's very important for us, if we learn to sign, learn to express too. Don't just use your hands, use your expression. If you say, Jesus died on the cross, you just have your no expression on your face. Oh, that's fine, he died, so what? It's not a sad thing, it's not a bad thing, or what? Deaf people need to know it's good or bad. So you need your facial expression, your body action. You have to remember the 90% of the language is facial expression and body language. With the Anabaptists and with the Amish people playing the Mennonites, body language and expression is kind of put aside. It's kind of pushed down. You don't do that. But that leaves out a lot of what we're trying to communicate to the deaf people. So we need to learn to come out with our expressions too. Imagine if you could hear nothing. Watch a TV or then you turn off the sound. You want to try that? A video, you watch a DVD, turn on mute. Who would enjoy that? You would miss a lot. For me, I can hear with my hearing aid. I think, oh, yeah, Joel can hear, good. I can hear you talk. I can hear the door. I can hear the car drive past. But when it comes to communicating, if you would fly to China, could you hear the people talk? Would you understand them? That's my problem here. I can hear you talk, but the words make no sense. They're all mixed up. Sometimes I can hear I can distinguish the voice between a man and a lady, but I cannot understand the words. Rain, the roof, you know, you could hear it. I can't. If I have my hearing aids on, it's really close, maybe. If I'm in the house, I can't hear anything. Laughter, I can't hear it. Well, with my hearing aids, I can. But a lot of deaf people don't like to wear hearing aids. That has slowly been changing, though. Technology is changing, like implants. Some feelings in that, in the deaf culture, too. Seems like too many times hearing people say, oh, you're deaf, so we'll fix you. Give you hearing aids. Give you an implant. And that causes a lot of mixed feelings in the deaf culture. Some deaf people are just like, go away. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to be deaf. Baby crying. Hear the baby crying. I've often wondered how deaf parents, how they do it. Today we have a lot of technology. We have a baby monitor with the lights flashing. The baby cries, the light flashes, the mom and dad wake up. Some have vibration, like a vibrator under their pillow. But in Belize, they cannot afford to buy that. One of our friends, she's a mother, a deaf mother, and she had a baby. And we're like, how does she know her husband is deaf? Well, they're not really married, but they live together. Yeah, they're married. Yeah, they're married now. But anyway, She would be in bed. She would have the baby on her above her head. And then she'd keep her hair out. So that when the baby would wake up, the baby would grab her hair and pull her hair, and that would wake her up. That's how they survive. It's sad, but it works. So you do what you have to do. Phone ringing. Deaf now have new phones. It vibrates, and it's not so much of an issue now. But you didn't hear that phone ringing, ringing, ringing. I never heard that very well. If I was close enough to a phone, I could. The new phones have such a high pitch, I cannot hear that at all. Traffic, cars going past, I hear nothing. Airplanes flying overhead, oh, I love to hear airplanes. Ever since I was little, I loved watching them. And I loved airplanes, even when I was little. People would ask me when I was 20, 25, can you drive a car? Well, yeah, I can drive a car. I have my pilot's license, too. Oh, okay. I got my pilot's license when I was 21 years old. And I remember I went to the airport close by, and I asked them, can deaf people fly? And they said, oh, yeah, they can. So I went there, and I got my license. Oh, I really enjoy flying. Deaf people can do a lot of things nowadays. Deaf doctors, there are deaf lawyers, there are deaf teachers. There is so many variety of things people can do. Hearing people ask them, you can't hear, you can't do all this stuff, you can't do it. But the deaf people say, oh, you can't. I can. Prefer to focus on what they can do rather than what they can't do. With my hearing aids, I can hear, with the airplane, you can hear the airplanes flying overhead, but his hearing aid doesn't tell him where it comes from. I have to look all over the sky, where is the sound coming from? I cannot tell. With hearing people, you can tell the direction where it comes from, but I can't do that. I remember one day, I was standing outside, and I heard this engine, and I looked all over. I knew it was an airplane, and got louder and louder and louder, and I could not see where it came. And the neighbor man came past with a push mower. I couldn't hear the difference between the airplane and the push mower. I said, oh, excuse me. Deaf in the world. So how do we reach out to deaf culture? There's never a group, like a concentrated population. They're all scattered. There's one in the city here, and one over there, and one over there, and it's a lot of work to reach out. You have to go meet them and talk to them, and it's a lot of driving and a lot of time. I just talked with a man who lives in Maine. He said he's a preacher. Well, no. He helps the preachers. One town would have one deaf person and drive half an hour to, and there's another deaf person, and drive another hour, and there's another deaf person. How do you have deaf church? You drive half an hour and pick that person up, and you go all over and drive and pick them up. It's so much driving time. It's hard. Now with technology, it has improved so much. They have Facebook. They connect church, and they can watch church live with signing. But then how do you know if they watch or not? It's very hard to connect then. And it's even worse in other countries. If you have no language, I remember I went to Africa. We went to the north part in Ghana. There's a tribe. We went into one of the tribes, and the hearing people said, oh, you're deaf? Hang on. And they went and they called two deaf people adult deaf people. And I said, hey, and I started talking, but they could not sign at all. And I saw shoes, and they told me by pointing that they wanted my shoes. But how would I communicate with them? How would I understand their needs? I had a big burden. How would you teach them? Oh, you would need weeks to teach them, even just to start with the ABC and 1, 2, 3, and start with the very basics before you can even tell them about Jesus. Whoa, it's a lot of work. In some countries, they have their own sign language. But it's interesting, the deaf people here in America, when they fly to a different country with the sign language, they can still communicate even if that country has a different sign language. If you would fly to China, could you talk Chinese? You couldn't communicate. But if a deaf person here flies to China, they can communicate. There's some signs that are very, very similar, like drink. The expression is right there. I'm thirsty. Yeah, I'm thirsty. It's easy to understand. And they can really quickly understand each other, and that's a good thing about sign language. How many of you were at the BMA convention last year? So you saw this last year, probably. There's a video that they showed. ...98% of the deaf have not been reached. Only 2%. But they say that deaf culture is the world's third largest unreached people group. And they're right here. You don't have to fly to another country. Lancaster County. They told me within 1 hour radius from Lancaster City, there's 5,000 deaf people. But I have lived here now for 20 plus years, and I don't know where they are. I have tried to look for them. I don't know where they are, but apparently they're here somewhere. I have contact with deaf and hard of hearing services, and they have the mailing list. They have all the deaf from this area. And they say, yeah, there's 5,000. But by law, they're not permitted to give it to me. Did you see this video? It's a video about a man. His name is Joel Barish. He travels all around the world and meets deaf people. He's not a Christian. But it's interesting to watch them and see the different signs, the different culture. Deaf culture is a culture in a culture, like Jewish deaf, Islamic deaf, Christian deaf, black deaf, white deaf. So it's so different. So let's watch this video. You see the video of the very different sign languages in the deaf culture. They're all around the world. You have to look carefully to find a deaf person. If you walk through a restaurant, a shopping mall, somewhere, church, do I look deaf? You would walk right past, you could easy walk right past a deaf person and not even knowing they were there. They look just like the other people. But what is sad is that, and this is what we have experienced in Belize, it's personally, I personally have heard and seen and met the person where the parents locked him up in the room and kept him there. They've put food under the door, put a drink under the door, and they just left him there, no clothing. The parents did not know what to do. They couldn't communicate. As soon as they would open the door, the little boy would run and they would yell after him, but he did nothing because he couldn't hear them. They couldn't handle him. So there was a lady in Belize, and she said she was that little, and her parents took her out and tied her to the tree. That was the only way they knew how to make her stay there. They could not communicate with her. They did not know what to do with her. They took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, wait until she's 5. She'll be able to hear again. And the parents are like, all right, okay. They took her home and waited. When she was 5, nothing happened. The doctors did not know what to do. That was their way of saying, go away, we can't help you. It's a very common problem in undeveloped countries. And that is sad, and it happens a lot. Now, deaf ministries and ideas how we can become involved in helping the deaf. You have ideas how we could help deaf people? That's probably the best way. D&I has missions all around the world. If you go to any one of those missions and work with the same mission, look for deaf people in that city. I'm sure there's a lot of deaf people right there in that city where the mission is. One of the experienced deaf missionaries I talked with, he told me, anywhere you put your finger on the map, there are deaf people right there. They're everywhere. Be a friend. Show that you care. How do you show you care? Take him to a hearing party. Take him to a hearing church. Take him to a hearing family. That might be one of the most challenging things. How do you show a deaf person that you care? Learn their language. Learn to talk with them. Many, many deaf people are lonely people. Today, right now with the phone, most deaf people would rather stay at home. So much easier to communicate texting than to go out somewhere. Just text and send text. Oh, and then that way they can talk. It's so much easier than if they try to go and meet in person and feel awkward about not being able to communicate. I talked with an interpreter. She said most of the deaf people live on SSD, Social Security Disability. They get money from the government monthly. Almost enough to live. They don't even need to work. They don't need to go anywhere. They can just stay home. A man and his wife are both deaf, and they both get money through Social Security. They can just stay home and rest and text people. And then that's why you almost never see them out there. You rarely see them out there in the public. And that is really sad here. But when I went to Rochester, or we've been going to Rochester, New York, there's a lot more deaf people there. Oh, I'm trying to think what the right number is. 2.2 deaf for every 100 hearing people in Rochester. About 35,000 deaf people live within the Rochester region. It's the world's second largest college for the deaf in Rochester, New York. In a place like here, there are very few deaf people, and it's hard to reach out to them, to find them. if you find one deaf person and you can get into their life, they will lead you to more deaf people. And all of a sudden, you will have many deaf people that you will learn to know. And it's easy to find. But I did not grow up deaf. I was not in that culture. So it's very hard for me to get in. But just studying for this, I realize I'm not in the deaf culture. I'm in between somewhere, between hearing and deaf. I like the hearing world. It has a lot of opportunities, and deaf people, I can easily identify with them. I can quickly start talking with them, and we can start talking. Here, I'm the only deaf person, and I feel a little out of place here. But if you go to a room full of deaf people, who would be the one out of place? Bible study. How can you have Bible study? It's a challenge here in America. Just using the word church is like a curse word. Why? Because remember I told you, you'd go to church and sit and sit and sit and understand nothing? So you can tell them, come to church, and they're like, no, thank you, I'm done. I understand nothing. Sometimes it's better to go to a coffee shop or to a home. Just sit and talk. Slowly talk about the Bible. Slowly have like pictures. Here you can use words easier. Show them the Bible. Show them love and care. I know from experience to teach deaf people 1 hour. They lose a lot of info. And their eyes have to work hard to take all that in. And it's like, we're all done. Half an hour is enough. You understand more and keep more if you break up half an hour sessions. Half an hour sessions. Here it's 1 hour. That's pretty long. This is just an idea of how we could help deaf people. Many deaf have a hard time finding a job. If we have a way to help, it would be good to help them increase their self-esteem and do more on their own. That is one thing we try to do in Belize. Try to teach them to work, save money, work with their hands. Remember, hearing people face the same challenges in life. Oh, the boss is not fair. And the deaf people would say, oh, it's not fair. And they changed jobs so many times. And we told them, no, stick with the job and wait and work a little longer. But it's challenging. This is probably the best way to get involved with the deaf culture. Find mature leaders and teach that person and mentor them to teach the other deaf. They could do much more than I ever could, because the deaf leaders, they need our support and our help. People think, just give them a Bible. About the half deaf people in America could probably do that, but the other half would have a challenge even trying to read the Bible. There is a Bible app called, is it Deaf Bible? Is that what it's called? It's an app that you can get on your phone, and it has all the sign language. You can pick the verse you want, and it pops up, and the verse is signed. So that way you can have the Bible signed right there. And here is a video of a deaf man sharing John 3:16 in sign language. So you can see it's a long way of explaining John 3:16. You could read it fast, you could say it fast, but this explains with pictures and actions. But that is how you have to teach deaf people. Slow pictures, you explain what you mean, and with actions. My time is running out here. So we just found out there is a deaf boy in Iraq, I-58. How many of you have heard about I-58? They work with his family, and they found him there. And they contacted us through Facebook. I-58 is asking people to come there to teach this boy sign language. So they were asking us, what could we do? And I would love to go and help them. Any of you have a desire to learn sign language and go over there and help him? That he's waiting. I have a video of him. Sign language. You see, I think he's 8. I think so. He's just learning his ABCs. His family wants someone to come and teach them sign language and teach a family to communicate with him. And they're waiting. So it's something to pray about. Okay. These are, I try to find the places where there's the most deaf people in a city. The top three are Rochester, and the second one is over there in California, and then Washington, D.C. Fremont, I think, is almost the same with Rochester. There are several others where deaf people tend to get together, several other cities. So if you have deaf people living down here, they'd probably be scattered all over. It'd be hard to really reach them. Our time is running out here. Okay, I think that's it. If you want to turn this on. So I was hoping for time for questions, but we'll still take a little bit of time for questions. Anybody have questions? We have like not very many minutes here, but
considering that normally reading is taught
by phonics. Oh, it's a huge challenge. For me, the whole voicing phonics was really hard for me. I learned the most by reading. that's how I put the grammar together, but the words and sounds is almost impossible. Pictures, words, often, but he's saying maybe his dad would be able to say something what they did.
We put words on 3x5 cards, put them on refrigerator, stove, wall, window. So they learn words. And if they learn words and put the words together, make a sentence, and they learn how to read. And if people can read, they can do anything. So we want our children to learn to read. Joel's reading encyclopedias.
So like did he and Joel, when we say a word, if you could hear a word like my name is Donna, do those words, the exact name, can he grasp that name? That word?
My name is.
Like when if he could hear it, can he connect with that word, a word, or no? He can connect with it in written, but to actually hear it,
there will be different levels of hearing in a deaf person. A hard of hearing person probably could. My hearing is severely profound. I cannot. I have friends that could hear and understand with no hearing aids, but it's very hard. If you talk with their mom, it's easier. They can talk with their own mother because they know their voice and their tongue. But if it's a strange person would come to me, or I'm lost. But now if she would talk to you, you could see her lips and you knew what she was talking about. With the lips, you could understand what she was saying. 50. You get to the word 50 or 15. There are so many words that are almost the same. I can't remember. Oh, yeah. Mary and Barry. If you lip read, they're exactly the same. So it's a challenge to lip read. Most deaf people cannot even lip read. I have learned to lip read, but if a new person comes to me, mustache, big beard, and tight-lipped, it's really hard. But if a person that I know for a long time, like my brother, we grew up together, I have no problem lip reading him. It's easy, because we grew up together. I learned to map his mouth. And a new person comes, I have to learn to map their mouths. The more time I'm with them, it's easier to understand them. But it's hard, still hard. Person has a book in front of them and walks around and or on the phone and then talk and point. Or if it's dark, I'm out of place. If you go past us driving on the road, you will see our car always has the lights on. Always.
What is the vision for a deaf church planting team?
Good question. Right now, my desire is to get involved more with deaf culture. Right now we're putting we put our house on market this last week. We're hoping to move to Rochester. We have contacted some deaf leaders up there and working with evangelism. I would rather disciple deaf at this point. Where will I go to learn? The Anabaptists don't have any group that I can go to. We were with a group in Belize and we tried to work with them, but it did not work. So Rochester has 35,000 deaf and they have a lot of outreaches. So we are hoping to move there to learn more how we can communicate with deaf people and get into deaf culture so that I can teach other deaf people how to reach out, like, or even you hearing people. Like, right now I feel like I'm not very equipped, but I want to learn. So that's where I'm at right now. But if you have ideas, I would like to hear. There's a deaf church here, and that's called the First Deaf Church. First Deaf Mennonite Church. But they're very mostly old people, and they're not open for change. So it's really hard to even get in there. I tried a couple times, but it didn't work. So, yeah. Any other questions? If you need to go, feel free to go.
Why deaf people want to keep you away?
That's true. Here, when I go to Walmart restaurants, I see a deaf person. I say, hey, what's your name? And the deaf person says, excuse me. They won't talk with me. That puzzles me. I'm deaf. I want to talk with you. It has happened again and again. And I asked my other deaf friends who are close to here, do you have the same experience? Yep, same experience. I don't know why. Here it's very closed and this isolated in this area. And Rochester? Oh man, it's the opposite. Deaf people just start talking and they start signing when they find out that I'm deaf. Very common. I don't know why. I know I talked with some interpreters here. They say a lot of deaf people have bad experiences with people taking advantage of them. And so they kind of block them out and keep them out. I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I found a deaf club in the city, in Lancaster, and I thought, oh good, so I went over, but it was in a back alley. I was like, whoa, it was dark in a small building. I went anyway. I tried to open the door, it was locked, so I pushed a button, and then the lights flashed in there, and someone opened. What do you want? I'm deaf, can I come in with deaf people? Alright, come in. Oh, those people there were dark. I said, hey, and I wanted to talk. My name is, and they sort of kept me out. They did not want to talk to me. 15 minutes, I left. I didn't know what to do with them. It's sad in this area. I'm not quite sure why. I wish I knew.
To learn sign language, what would be the best way to learn, or the best program?
We use DVDs that Learn and Master ASL. It's a little expensive, but it's about 40 hours of DVD instruction. You have it, right, Tara? Do you like it?
I like, but I didn't finish.
It's very intense. It's long. It has a lot of info.
Like, what would be the name of the disc?
It's a Learn and Master ASL. I think there's 24 DVDs in there.
I think it's 25.
25 DVDs, and then each DVD is like 45 minutes, something like that.
I think some are longer.
Some are even longer than that. And there's a little workbook that comes with that. You can go online. YouTube has signs. But you have to remember, hearing people have dialects. Northeast, they talk different than South or West. And deaf people have their own dialect too. You sign a little different from here to over there. It's not quite the same. Like soon, it's not all, it's not right or wrong, it's just different.
Learn and Master ASL have a course in Spanish
for sign language?
Sign language in Spanish.
I don't think they do. Yeah, yeah.
Green, how would you have learned years ago?
Yeah, we haven't really studied much about
learn the alphabet first.
The Spanish ASL. I'm thinking there was, you know what, I could connect you with a lady that was in El Salvador. She was the, like a director or curriculum supervisor for a deaf school in El Salvador. She's a Christian. The school, I think, was a Baptist school. I think they were a Christian school. And she has tons of resources. So I could connect you with her. And she might be able to give... Are you going to Mexico or...?
Yeah, we live in Mexico. At an orphanage. And my sister, Faith, she's learning ASL through an ASL app on her phone. But I also remembered in a city 2 to 3 hours away from us, there is a deaf school.
Okay.
And so that could probably be a resource. I remember that.
Yeah, with one thing that you might want to contact a deaf person and take time with them and learn their sign language. That's probably the best thing because their sign language is different than here. That would probably be the best way to learn. One-on-one is better than any DVDs. But now if they want to get the basics for themselves, just to understand, then the Learn and Master would be great. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to teach little children sign language, then I would go for signing times. Mexico sign language is different, but when you have the basic of ASL, you can still kind of communicate to where they can start teaching you their sign language.
Right. Because there is a man I know in our town, in Choix, and he would be deaf, but I think like 99% of his, or 95% of his communication is through lip reading.
Oh, yeah.
And so, he does a few signs, but I think it's stuff that he's come up with.
Right,
himself.
His home signs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Also, if you talk with deaf children that have no language, you have to start like you would talk to a little baby. Just simple words.
That's how we start. You start with your baby and you start with baby words.
Often in Belize, often you would have deaf people that were 12, 13, 14, 15. They had no idea. You know, even older ladies, some of them were 35, 40. And you try to talk to them, like Joel said, there was no words. Like they had their own. Every home had, like they would say, you know, you could tell they had learned from their mother's mouth that this was a chicken. It was pollo, but they couldn't really, you know. And then when you would say chicken to them, they'd go, no, because your mouth is different. Chicken, it's not even pollo. And then it'd be like, who are you? What are you trying to tell me? You know, so. It's a whole...
Would it be easier to... Because at our orphanage, we have a boy. He's about, how old is Chinito? 8 years old. And he can hear, but he can't talk. I don't know if it's because of something traumatic.
Traumatic.
That happened to him when he was little. Mm-hmm. But would it be easier for him to learn how to read if he can hear?
Yeah.
And learn the signs. Do you think it'd be best to teach him how to read without signs or
with signs?
With signs.
I would.
Okay.
As now, the signs would help him to bring out. The signs would help him. That boy can not talk, but he can hear. There was a deaf boy in Belize like that, and when he started signing, he started telling us what he was thinking. And he had this all down. He knew exactly what his mom wanted him to do. But he could not respond to her. So, yeah. Julie, thank you for coming to the workshop. If you need to leave, go ahead and leave. More questions, I'll be here. So go ahead and feel free to talk more. But thank you for coming.